Welcome back to another episode of Cohen's Corner. The Mets are 5-2. They had a really good first week. I think they easily could be 7-0, but I guess we're not going to nitpick. We'll be happy with the 5-2 start compared to other starts we've had in recent years. And I mean, usually I guess we have a good April, but we'll have to see where this season goes. But yeah, so it's great that baseball's back. Like I said, we're 5-2. The weather's finally warming up. If you hear any Nat sound coming out, it's because I'm sitting outside today enjoying the weather. So I apologize for any of that. But Elizabeth, how are you doing? How have you enjoyed the first week of Mets baseball?
I've really enjoyed not just the first week of Mets baseball specifically, but the first week of like actual, you know, major league games all around the league. It's so comforting when there's baseball games on from like 1 p.m. through like 1 a.m. So I really enjoy watching like as much baseball as I can during the season, because it's funny, like we so easily settle into the routine of watching baseball every night that it's hard to think back to like a month and a half ago when there was no baseball on. And I'm like, what did I do this whole time? Like there was nothing on to like, what did I watch? And now when there's baseball on, I'm like, that's all I think about. So it's been really nice, you know, having the Mets to watch, obviously, but also just kind of having, you know, the narratives for all 30 teams and kind of hearing about all the fun things that have been happening all around the league so far. We had Stephen Kwan go like 115 pitches for the Cleveland Guardians without swinging and missing to start his career, which was incredible. We've had Vlad Guerrero Jr. hitting 3 home runs at Yankee Stadium yesterday, which was after getting stepped on at first base, which was also very exciting. There's been all sorts of things happening. We had Clayton Kershaw getting pulled after 7 perfect innings, which I don't even want to talk about because it was really upsetting. I was really hoping he'd go for the perfect game. But of course, our focus here is going to be on the Mets. And, you know, I have to say, we're going to get into, in this episode, a few kind of overreactions we have from the first week, because, you know, obviously we can't really extrapolate how this week is going to parlay into the rest of the season. But I think, you know, this week is all we have to go on, basically. So I've gotten pretty good vibes from this first week. Even the 2 games they lost, I felt like they still played pretty well overall. I've seen pretty solid defense. They've made a couple errors here and there, but I'm not seeing any like wild miscommunications that have been really obvious misplays, which is always nice. I think they've played very crisply so far. And yeah, why don't we start off with that? So Jake, why don't you give like one overreaction to something that you've liked from the Mets so far this year? Something that has been a really good sign that, you know, we're not sure if it'll continue, but so far you're on board with.
How about their ability to hit with runners in scoring position? I mean, how many times last year did we see they'd come up with even less? I'm thinking with 2 outs, they've been great so far. But even last year with less than 2 outs, runners in scoring position, it would seem like they're getting on base all the time and they just couldn't find that big hit to drive a guy in. But I mean, if you look up and down the lineup, whether it's Mark Canna, Eduardo Escobar, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, I think he's only hitting around 250 so far, but it feels like all of his hits have kind of come in a clutch spot, and he's hitting, I think, 3-for-6, 4-for-7, something like that with runners in scoring position. So he's been really, really good. I mean, that's been great for Lindor to get off to a decent start. He's obviously off to a much better start than he was last year. But no, I just think the ability for them to be able to drive in runners in with runners in scoring position, I mean, it's just, it's a big deal. And I mean, it's obvious you need to score runs, but it just feels like last year, the Mets just every game couldn't get that big hit. And we kept saying, oh, eventually it'll happen. And it never did. So, I mean, the fact that they've been able to get off to a hot start, whether that's new hitting coaches or Chavez and I don't know, the new player personnel, obviously, but that's been really refreshing, is to see them kind of get that big hit and be able to blow some games open.
You know, what's probably even more telling for overall having a great offensive year for the team is the fact that they haven't hit that many home runs so far. Like, I think so far they've only had like 4 home runs. I might be wrong. I know McNeil hit 1, Nimmo has 2, or maybe 5. Nimmo has 2, Alonso has 2, and I think McNeil has 1. And I think that's it so far. What's almost more satisfying, I mean, it's great when the team hits home runs, but something I kind of is extra refreshing is when the Mets have had runners on like a runner on second or runner on third with 2 outs and they get a single. And I'm like, wow, that's almost more satisfying, just getting a hit, like you were saying, with 2 outs, runners in scoring position, or even like 2 outs, 2 strikes, like Alonso yesterday. I think all 3 of his extra base hits came with 2 strikes. And I think at least 2 of them came with 2 outs also, especially the home run. I know that did. You know, feeling like the Mets aren't out of it if there's 2 outs is great. Feeling like they're not out of it if they get runners on is also great. So it's definitely been refreshing to see it, even especially like the first couple games. I noticed this too, when, you know, everything was kind of even shinier than it is now. Just like, you know, whether it was Starling Marte or Lindor, like you said, or Canna, who started the year with like going 8-for-10 or something. He had like an 850 on base percentage after like the first five games. It's definitely been nice seeing them kind of stringing hits together and actually having those hits result in runs, which is nice. Because last year we saw them, they'd get runners on and then just never score. They'd go like 0-for-12 for a game with runners in scoring position or something crazy. So, and I don't know, again, we're not, whether that's Eric Chavez as the hitting coach has led to this, whether it's just the kind of the overall shift in coaching staff. It just seems like they seem more confident at the plate. It doesn't seem like they're overthinking their at-bats, but they've also had really good at-bats too. Like, obviously there've been some strikeouts, but that's inevitable. I feel like they just seem kind of calm, composed, and also just confident too. And I think that also comes with the veterans they've added who aren't trying to do too much, who've been around the game for a bunch of years. They're not trying to like hit 50 home runs in one swing. Like, you know, Mark Canna, Starling Marte, Eduardo Escobar, they've been in the league for several years each. And so I think we're seeing that kind of mature veteran approach, not only from them, but also from the rest of the hitters as well, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, I agree. And the new additions, I mean, we talked about it all offseason, how great the new additions were. And I mean, but how about just looking at Eduardo Escobar? I mean, I've loved his approach at the plate, and his fielding has been great. Like, he's made some really nice plays at third base. And I'm like, oh, if JD Davis was at third, like,
it's
that play
so nice
probably isn't being
not
made.
Not holding my breath every time the ball is hit to third base. Again, he's going to make an error at some point. Like, that's going to happen. But yes, it's definitely been nice not being like, oh no, like any time the ball is hit.
And it's nice they can call on a guy like Sig Giorme. Like, when he played at second the other day, he made some great plays, a couple nice turns on double plays. And just, yeah, it seems like they're doing all the little things well. And it helps when you're playing the Phillies and you see how they do pretty much all the little things wrong. I mean, look at Alec Bohm the other night alone, or just
know,
even
that was a game the Mets lost, though, so I don't want to like relish too
much.
Yeah,
I know, but still. And think about,
so but you're right.
In that, the relay where Marte scored on the double by Alonso yesterday, and Gregorius kind of double clutched it, and Gene Segura's kind of like right next to him. Like, it just seems like the Phillies kind of, they're just getting in their own way a lot. And that seems to be what the Mets have done in past years. And obviously, like we've said, it's been only been a week, so these are all overreactions, but so far you got to like what you've seen. I mean, but like I said in the open, probably should be 7-0. I mean, blowing that last game against Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks. Like, 5-2 is great. Anybody would have signed up for that a week ago if you said we're gonna be 5-2, sure. But to lose that game against Philly the other night, fine, the Washington game you took 3-4, yeah, but
they only scored 2 runs in the Nationals game. Like, I can't get too annoyed about the bullpen giving up runs in games if they only score 2 runs. Yeah. You know what I mean? The Philly game was a little bit more disappointing.
5 runs in the 8th inning the other day, like, that's rough. And the Washington game wasn't really as much on the bullpen. I mean, Buck Showalter, we love Buck, but bringing Trevor Williams when you had May, and I don't know, but really that was on Alonso. I think his defense kind of blew that 8th inning up. But yeah, to lose the game against the Phillies was a little that was a little bit harder of a pill to swallow.
I don't think there's any need to like overanalyze every loss I had. I think the loss against the Nationals, Pete made 2 questionable throws. I think that's an anomaly. Like, I've never really seen that from him much. You know, like, we don't really see him like hesitate a lot in the field. And so I don't know. Personally, for me, that wasn't really that worrying. I have a feeling like if that situation comes up again, he'll probably be more confident in throwing home or throwing a second or whatever. Most of the times when he's made errors, it's not usually because of that. So that didn't really worry me too much. I mean, it did end up losing the game, but again, the Mets only scored 2 runs. So I wasn't like that bothered by that. And maybe we can get into the second overreaction, which I think we both agree to, is that the bullpen definitely looks a little bit shakier than last year. And that was definitely evident in the game against the Phillies, where the Mets were up 4-0 heading into the 8th inning and ended up losing. I think it was 6-4. So, or 5-4. So we can talk about that. Like, overall, you know, we've seen, I think, every reliever at this point. And, you know, some have pitched well. Like, I've been really impressed. I remember I said, and I think in our last episode, that I was looking forward to hopefully a really big year from Drew Smith. So far, he's looked great. He's looked like a really solid right-handed option in late innings in high-pressure situations. So he's impressed me. I think, you know, Diaz, he gave up the home run to Harper. It was, you know, I would almost rather that than him have walked like 3 batters. So that home run to Harper was like barely out. I don't know. That didn't really bother me. They were up by 4 runs anyway. I would rather him be throwing strikes in that situation. So that was fine. He's looked good so far. Like, I really can't complain. Especially, you know, he had his grandfather pass away over the weekend, had to go back to Puerto Rico and come back. So, you know, he's already had kind of a tumultuous first few games, and he's pitched really well, so can't complain about him. But yeah, I know you were talking about this before, but definitely there's a couple of newer arms that have looked a little bit shaky so far. Like, I know you were mentioning Joely Rodriguez, who the Mets traded Miguel Castro for seemingly unnecessarily. So again, I'm not sure. I'm not ready to call this a complete bust yet because again, he's only pitched in a few games, but so far, even if it's not a terrible trade, it's looking like it was unnecessary from my point of view.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it, unnecessary. And yeah, he scares me. The other day, he can't face a righty. Like, he just can't. Look at what he did against Real Muto the other day. I mean, he also made some good pitches. I mean, he came in the next game, he pitched well against, yesterday against Schwarber, got Schwarber out.
He struck out Schwarber. That he should have been out after that. He should have been done.
And he's got to be a guy that, because with the three batter rule, he's got to be a guy you're bringing in to only face lefties, like to end the inning and hit it face a lefty. Like, because once you end the inning, you can be done. You don't have to face the three batters if you face the last batter of an inning. So we can't see him facing a righty in a big spot because, yeah, just look the other night. He imploded the other night. He's pretty much the main culprit of that loss Monday night. But, yeah, he's been shaky. But, yeah, you really called that Drew Smith. Obviously, it's only been a week so far, but he's looked nasty. And to give them more than one inning the other night, that was huge.
An inning and two-thirds and the 2-0 win. That was huge.
Real good. His stuff's looking really good. He's throwing upper 90s. Yeah, it looks really good. And, I mean, yeah, Diaz has looked great. Like you said, that Harper home run was kind of a fluke. He kind of just poked his bat out and barely hit it out.
That was like the Stallings home run that, like, barely got out last year. Like, this one to Harper,
at
it
least
was like
Diaz
300.
Been going up this time, though.
Thank goodness. But this was like 320 feet to exact opposite.
It barely got out.
I'm like, that's fine.
But even the night before, I mean, in that 2-0 game, he looked really good. And the two hits he gave up were both infield hits. I mean, it wasn't like he was getting hit really hard. No. He looked great, and he struck out he struck out the side in that inning. So
he struck out three batters. He's
looked really good. Yeah, I love the Edwin Diaz we've seen. I mean, we kind of got to get past 2019. I think
he has probably now like the nastiest stuff in the bullpen. Like he's out of the pitchers.
And
they
relievers
have,
like are gonna have
he's the one I want in the ninth
year.
Inning.
Like, it happens where relievers have the really bad year. Like almost every reliever runs into that at some point. And hopefully 2019 was just that year for him. I mean, since then he's been an elite closer pretty much. I mean, so. I mean, I think you got to trust Edwin Diaz.
Yeah. Look around the league. Like, I mean, he's the least of my worries.
Problems the Phillies have had with their bullpen over the last few years. You know, like, they've had it worse than us. But, yeah, Diaz, him being good at the back end of that bullpen is going to be a really big deal for this team. But I think, if anything, like, obviously it's early, again, overreactions. But if there's anything that Billy Epo needs to do a better job of improving on, it's this bullpen. Because you don't want to have to go through all this. You built this team to be good. You got all these winning players, winning coach, like – and then just because you have some shitty arms in the bullpen, and that's what's going to derail your season, you can't let that happen. Because in 2019, that's what happened.
That's
all
what
those
happened.
Blown saves, like we would have easily made the playoffs without them. Yeah, that's definitely something that's scaring me right now. But like I said, I'll take that 5-2 start any day.
Once we hopefully get a little later into the season and starters go more than five innings, hopefully it'll be less of a problem. Also, these issues have come to light because, again, it's the first week. They had a shortened spring training. Max Scherzer only threw, 86 pitches in his first start. You know, I guarantee in, May or, a couple weeks down the road, he would have gone out for another inning. Whatever the case may be, I think the leash on starters is going to get a little bit longer. And we can transition into that next because the Mets starters have pitched extremely well so far. And I think one of the best ways to improve a bullpen is just having them throw fewer innings. And so I think hopefully if Mets can start getting more seven-inning outings more regularly out of their starters, hopefully that'll be less of a problem. Like, you won't need to have Joely Rodriguez coming in like a million huge spots like 5 days in a row. You won't need to, hopefully won't need to have, again, Trevor Williams also didn't pitch that badly the other day. Like, I still think he can be good again.
No, I don't blame that on him, but
he gave up one hit that left the infield
in a tight spot.
No, exactly.
He's your long man. Buck wants to get everybody in, whatever, but there's a time and place.
The time is over. Spring training ended.
Yeah, like, find the front, but I don't want to hear that again, that we're using Trevor Williams in a tight spot because
I agree.
Throw. Like, that, especially when you have guys rested. Like, Trevor May was up, and Trevor May got hurt the next day, obviously, but Trevor May was up, and then they had him sit to bring in Trevor Williams. Like, that at the time didn't make sense, doesn't make sense now. He tried – at least he had a reason. Like, Luis Rojas would never have reasons, it seemed like. Like, at least he's like, all right, it's early in the year. We want these guys to throw, whatever. But that's fine. But not in a game like that's not a spot for Trevor Williams. Trevor Williams is a depth guy at the back of your bullpen to give you innings if you need them. He's not a guy to get you big outs in the eighth inning.
So, but I think hopefully if starters can start, you know, giving more length, then that will be less of a problem. I do agree that when we kind of said this too, like it didn't seem like the bullpen really improved. It may have gotten worse based on the additions/subtractions that they made. And let's see, who else did they bring? Well, Ottavino, I think, is going to be fine. Like, right. He's going to, you know, he's not going to be, like, lights out, but...
He's going to have his shitty outing from time to time, but at other times, he's going to look otherworldly.
He seemed pretty sharp so far, and, like, if he has a slider working
that
to right-handers...
That slider is disgusting.
It is brutal.
That's one of the filthiest pitches I think anybody has in all of baseball. That thing is... The movement on that pitch is just unreal. It's like he's throwing a wiffle ball. Like, it's crazy.
The problem is it's so far out of the strike zone that if people just are laying off, then he's probably going to walk some batters. But overall, like, I'm fine with him as, like, a right-handed arm. If they need to bring him into a high leverage spot, you know, who knows? Again, this is an overreaction. I think he was a good addition so far. But, yeah, I guess we'll see. You know, I was really on the Chase and Shreve reunion train before they brought him back. So far, he seemed to be a good addition again.
Been good, but let's see how long that lasts.
Let's see how long that lasts. Like, that's kind of what we were saying. Like, if he was the only lefty in the pen, like, the Mets only had Aaron Loop last year, and the bullpen was pretty good. So, I don't think they needed...
He can't be your top lefty. He can't. To have him at the back end, sure, like, to be a second lefty, maybe, but, like, he's not Aaron Loop. And I get that Aaron Loop had a career year last year and came out of nowhere, kind of, but Aaron Loop was still a solid reliever before that with the Rays and other teams. Chasen Shreve has been, like, a middling pitcher his entire career. Like, people forget he was the guy traded for Luke Voit from the Yankees to the Cardinals, and then he basically couldn't hang around the Cardinals, and he didn't even make the Mets out of camp last year. So he's good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he could be a decent depth guy for you in the pen, and he's been very good so far in high-leverage spots, but I don't think you can ride Chasen Shreve all season.
Right. You know, I know they have had a couple of other lefty relievers in spring training, whether, like, they end up bringing up Alex Claudio at some point. Like, I don't know. I don't know what will happen there. Or if, who knows, maybe someone will get DFA'd. Hopefully, there's still going to be some irons in the fire throughout the early part of the season for more improving the bullpen even more. Because as we've seen in recent years, like, look at the Braves last year. Their bullpen was incredible in the postseason. And, like, that's one of the main reasons they won the World Series. You know, I've said this time and time again, like, in this day and age, a lot of the time, the team with, like, the best, and 2 years ago, the Dodgers had an amazing bullpen and pitching staff and won the World Series in 2020. So it seems like teams with the best bullpens are going to be the ones that get to the playoffs. And so we would hate to have that be a downfall and not learn from history there. So hopefully that doesn't repeat itself. And if it's an obvious flaw, then I think moves will be made. So I guess, you know, but again, moves could be made, but the Mets could have just kept Miguel Castro. They could have.
I think with Drew Smith stepping up, the loss of Castro isn't that great.
Right,
I just think that maybe
he could be. Let's not
Castro
also not
better
overstate.
Value. Like, you could have got something probably better for Castro than Joely Rodriguez. But I liked Castro, but I don't think his loss. If Drew Smith is able to, like, fill in these innings the way he has so far, I think the loss of Castro,
because they already have so many righties anyway. I mean, they brought in Ottavino too.
So righty heavy, but
yeah.
And the thing is, like, at the trade deadline, I feel like the easiest spot to improve is usually the bullpen. Like, there's plenty of relievers that teams are willing to get rid of, like, non-contending teams that they don't ask for much, relievers on expiring contracts, whatever. Like, look at last year, all the relievers, Tapera, Chafin, there were a lot of good relievers available last year. So I think that if that's a consistent problem, which it might be for the Mets this year, unfortunately, but I think Billy Epler will have plenty of options at the trade deadline to improve. And honestly, you might have to do it before. We need I think
let's
we're
going
to
wait till half the season's gone. And,
but I think there'll be options out there for
him. I agree. And also, because again, it seems like, you know, if they're going to put in all this effort to really try to go for it this year, like, it seems like they've been doing, the offseason made it very clear that they're really trying to contend, like, this year and next year. So why leave that as a sore spot? Like, if you're going to try to win, like, you have to fill out the whole team. So yeah, I think we probably said enough about the bullpen at this point, but hopefully that doesn't become a huge issue. We shall see. Another positive overreaction that I've had is that the Mets rotation has done its absolute best Jacob DeGrom impression without having Jacob DeGrom in the rotation. You would not, like, if you looked at the Mets rotation ERA, it's, I think, 1.29 after 7 games. You'd be like, oh, it's, well, they have DeGrom. No, he hasn't pitched a single inning, and they've all done so well. And we can talk about that. Again, it's only a few games in. One of the starters was Taijuan Walker, who then had to go on the IL, but then David Peterson filled in with 4 scoreless innings, so that was also cool of him. So yeah, let's talk about that. I think, I mean, probably the most impressive so far has been Tyler McGill, who's had 2 scoreless outings so far to start the year. I think he has 10 and a third scoreless innings so far in 2022. So he's been phenomenal and filled in great on opening day, filled in fantastically against the Phillies. Yeah, overall, again, I'm not expecting them to keep this up, but I think, you know, even the games where they've given up a couple runs, like Scherzer gave up 3 runs in his first start, but like, that's not the end of the world. You know, starters aren't going to have scoreless outings all the time, but if they can keep the Mets in games, if they can continue giving up like no more than 3 runs most of the time, that's pretty good. And so, and we've seen them do even better than that. You know, Chris Bassitt, he's starting the home opener. He had a great start his first time out against the Nationals. So, and I've loved what I've seen from him too. Like, just the leadership that he's bringing, not only on the mound, but like in the dugout, is phenomenal. I can't wait to watch him pitch this year. But yeah, let's talk about that. Like, what has impressed you most, maybe about the rotation, or just talk about a particular starter that you've enjoyed watching?
I've enjoyed watching them all. I mean, you touched on all of it. Starting with Bassitt, I mean, yeah, I think we knew he was a good pitcher, but I mean, him being out in Oakland, we really didn't know the full extent of it. And again, it's just one start, but this has kind of been his reputation, using all of his pitches. Like, he'll use any pitch in any count, which I love. And he goes after hitters. And I loved his response after the game about pitching to Juan Soto and coming back, because that was his first strikeout. Soto got 3-0 on the count, and Bassitt came all the way back to strike him out. And they asked him about it after the game, and he said, well, I've faced Trout a bunch of times, Ohtani, and he said, I know Soto's probably the best hitter in the world right now. He said, but I don't care. I don't care who you are. I'm going to go after you. And I think that's kind of the mentality he showed since we signed him. But, yeah, he's been great. And his leadership in the dugout, like right after McGill started, I don't know if you saw, he's going over stuff with him on the iPad.
Yeah.
The next day with Scherzer, all the starting pitchers are all huddled together. Like, I think the team camaraderie this year is much different as well. And you can't teach chemistry. But so far, this team has a lot of it. But, yeah, the starting pitching has been great. Scherzer, to be able to battle through yesterday, obviously he didn't have his best stuff, and he's still coming off that hamstring, which he says isn't a factor anymore, but it's got to be something, you know. But to be able to load the bases in the first inning and get out of it and then still only go one run over, what, 5 innings, and he looked really good.
That pitch to Stott, that stop hit for a single was a good pitch. It was down. Like, that was just good hitting.
Stott from Philly, I like him. He put together some really good at-bats this week. Like, he's going to be a good player, I think. But anyway, yeah, the starting pitching is great. And for David Peterson to be able to fill in for Walker after that, it sucks Walker got hurt, because how good did he look?
Oh, man. That he looked so good in those first 2 innings. I was like, who is this?
Yeah, it was nuts. I mean, he looked like first half Taiwan Walker from last year, and that would be great if he can come back and be like that. But, yeah, the starting pitching has been great. For McGill to fill in for DeGrom like he has so far, and I know it's not fair to expect this level of performance, but just even something like this would be amazing. He's been awesome, and you could see he has the stuff. Like, he had the stuff last year, and he kind of seemed to get a little worn out towards the end of the year. He had a career high in innings.
Home runs, yeah.
So, I mean, but that's going to happen with a young pitcher, but his stuff looks great. And it's got to be great for him and Peterson to be around these veteran guys like Scherzer and Bassitt, Carrasco, Taiwan Walker, like, to be able to learn from all these guys that have so much knowledge. And then when DeGrom gets back, I mean, yeah, it's got a different feel to it. But if the starting pitching can be like this, I mean, we can't expect this, but if it can be a top five unit in the league this year, that's going to be a real big factor for them.
It's going to take some of the pressure off the bullpen too, hopefully. If the offense, and, you know, you want all things to be clicking on all cylinders, but if it does help, you know, again, even if the bullpen might give up some runs, like we've said, but if the starters can keep being amazing, hopefully they'll balance each other out until one of them improves even more. But
yeah, and then it'll help ease DeGrom back in too, because
yeah, exactly.
You don't have to rush back DeGrom, which, who knows with his health, he hasn't been able to, it'll be pretty much a year since he will have taken the mound the next time he comes back. But the fact that the starting pitching has been this good, you don't feel like, oh my God, like, we need DeGrom back or our season's going to get derailed like it did last year. Because if you look, when DeGrom got hurt last year, everything just seemed to fall apart. And I'm sure he was just a factor in that. I mean, there were a bunch of other factors. But once he got hurt, the team went off the rails. And it seems this year they're going to be able to kind of carry things along until he's able to get back.
Going back to Chris Bassitt, like, I think someone asked him about that too. And I forget the exact quote, but he was like, you know, if we're relying that much on just Jacob DeGrom, then they're not a very good team. I think he said basically that. And so I appreciate that attitude of everyone feeling like, yes, it sucks that he's injured, and I would love to be watching him pitch every fifth day, but everyone else is trying to win. Like, everyone else has a job to do too. And I think that's basically what he said. You know, not that they're not sad that he's like not there, but he's not the whole team. Like, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but like, he's not the whole team. There's 26 guys on the roster right now that are all, I feel like, really doing their best to win and have done a great job so far. And I can't wait to get him back. He's my favorite player, obviously. Life is going on. Like, life is, they have 2 months at least without him. They're going to do the best they can. It's always great to have Jacob DeGrom on your team. But so far, it seems like they will be fine, at least in the rotation without him. And You know, let's also talk to, I don't want this to get swept under the rug, but Carlos Carrasco had a really good first outing against the Nationals. He gave up a home run to Nelson Cruz. It was in the first inning. But after that, you know, if that's going to be the case, if he's going to give up like a solo home run most first innings and that's mostly it, whatever. Whatever it is with him, that might be fine. Like, we might just have to deal with it.
After what we saw last year, I'll take 5 innings, 1 run anytime.
If that's going to be all he gives up, that's fine.
But if he's our 4th, 5th starter and he can go 5 innings, 6 innings, give up a couple runs, even 6 innings, 3 runs. I mean, last year he was getting shelled. Remember how bad his first innings were last year? So that's like when he gave up that home run to Cruz, I'm kind of like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
But I mean, he gave up the home run to Cruz, then he gave up right after he gave up a single to Josh Bell, and then he retired every batter he faced after that. So I feel like you're right. It kind of did get swept under the rug a little because the game ended up getting blown in the 8th inning. Yeah. So I think it would be looked at a little better if, you know, if they had pulled it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's not on Carrasco. Yeah, he pitched, I think, for a first start, they got everything they could have asked. And, I mean, if he could just return to somewhat of his old form and have an ERA in the high threes, I mean, I think the Mets would take that any day. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, I'm not asking for perfection from anyone, but from him. But just don't be a disaster. Like, that's really all I want. You know, just don't melt down constantly. Like, that might be all we can ask for. He said in spring training that he felt, you know, a lot better than he did last year. If he can stay healthy, and that's what we say every year, but, you know, especially if Walker's out for a couple starts, like, I guess he'll probably have Peterson fill in for him. Like, I don't know who else at this point. It's already the first week of the season, and both McGill and Peterson have been very important. See, it's nice that they weren't penciled in to start the year because they've been needed.
That's important.
Exactly. So I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. But yeah, it's the thing because Carlos Carrasco, he's so easy to root for. Like, he seems like such a nice person. I really just want him to do well, especially having such a truncated year last year when he didn't pitch basically the first half of the season. If he can stay healthy and give approximately what he gave against the Nationals in most of his starts, great. Again, you can only ask for like so much because at some point the hitters have to hit as well, and you can't expect starters to give up 0 or 1 run every game, but I'll take an approximation of that Carlos Carrasco most of the time, and that will be just fine with me.
Yeah, pitching's been great. Hopefully they can continue. Hopefully the bullpen can shore up a little bit. But, yeah, what have you thought about so far of Starling Marte's defense in right field? Because this is the first time he's playing out there, but if you watch him play, it doesn't seem like that. It seems like he's been out there his entire career. He's played great. That play he made yesterday, Stott was trying to turn that single into a double, and you could see Marte, he wasn't even running towards where the ball was going to go, or the direction it was heading. He knew it was going to bounce off that side wall, and so he took the angle to where he thought it was going to go perfectly. Bare hand, pick up, spin, throw, one hopper to second, right on the money. I thought that was a great play. And, like, I've loved Marte's all-around game, his base running. I mean, his hitting's gotten off to a little bit of a sluggish start, but the last couple of games.
He's got some two-out RBIs.
He has. That's like Lindor. Like, he hasn't gotten a ton of hits, but his hits have seemed to all come in, like, really big spots.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but Marte's speed on the base is, like, that's just been so refreshing. Scoring from first on that double by Pete yesterday. His defense and right, I've been very, very impressed. And, I mean, we should have expected it. I mean, we've seen his entire career how much of an athlete the guy is. But, man, he's looked impressive out there.
I can actually understand putting him in right field. He probably has the strongest arm. I mean, he almost definitely has the strongest arm out of him, Nimmo, and Canna. And so I feel like the guy in right having the strongest arm often seems to be the most important, because you can throw a guy out at third or at second, like more. I feel like that having the person with the strongest arm in right field seems to make sense for that reason, because it's just a longer distance to third base. But yeah, I totally agree. He's just seemed like, yeah, all around a really great presence on the roster. And I know it's funny. I feel like his name has been floated for years as someone the Mets like should trade for. Like, I remember, wasn't it a couple off seasons ago when me personally was worried they were going to like trade Nimmo for Starling Marte. That was like a big thing for like 3 off seasons in a row. And now they didn't even have to trade for him. They signed him. So yes, I've been very, very impressed with him at the top of the lineup. He's been a great presence, whether it's, and even like the other day too, stealing second in the 8th inning and then Lindor getting a single, and then he scored on that. So if he can, you know, I'm not necessarily expecting like 50 steals from him or 40 steals even again like he did last year, but if he can steal in spots where a single would like drive in an important run, I think that's a great asset to have on the team. Definitely, he seems just like overall a great presence on the roster. And like you said, he's really athletic defensively. You know, just because he's played center a lot doesn't mean that athleticism is going to go away once he goes to right field, as long as he's comfortable in that spot in the outfield. So Yeah, over and even just in the dugout too. I know there's already been kind of like the meme of him being annoyed at the hit by pitches that that was pretty funny.
Top step, yeah.
I'm sure that will probably get, you know, circulated if the Mets get annoyed by other things throughout the season. Yeah, he just seems like a great all-around presence and player to have. You talked about Eduardo Escobar, worked like 3 walks yesterday and hit the triple.
His at-bat, Canna, the at-bat.
Canna's had great at-bats. Yeah. Canna's like Nimmo part 2 with like working, you know, 6 pitch at-bats at least, like every time.
I saw someone say the other day that Canna's at-bats, it's like Steve Traxel if he was a hitter.
Oh.
So long. But I mean, I love it. Grinding. And that's the word they were saying on TV that the team is really kind of drawn to. And they're grinding out at-bats. And they are. I mean, it's just – it's great. And whether that's – I'm sure Chavez has got to be playing some part of a role in that. But, like, Canna's been this way his entire career. But, yeah, the at-bats have just – they've been really well. Even sometimes they make outs, but at least, like, they're driving up the pitch count. They're working a lot of full counts. It's just, and they're being aggressive early in counts.
They're not chasing out of the zone either. I haven't seen a lot of that.
They're not. Yeah. It's been, again, just a week. We got to keep saying that, but it's been a really good week, and they've all around everything. I think besides the bullpen's been a little shaky, but everywhere else, you really can't complain much. Like they've looked
absolutely. And I didn't necessarily think I'd be saying that again after like the doom and gloom of like a week and a half ago when, you know, DeGrom went out and like Scherzer had like a hamstring tweak. I was like, oh no, like oh no.
As Mets fans, we got.
I thought the vibes would be bad. So the vibes are good right now, until like you know they aren't. But at the moment,
appreciate the good vibes, Mets fans, because
exactly
we know we don't get too many of them, and they don't last that long when we do have them. So
exactly
the time we do have these good vibes going.
Yeah, absolutely. So I also wanted to ask you because I know you went to the game in Philly on Tuesday. I haven't been to a game yet this year, but I'm wondering if like there was anything in particular you either like noticed while being at the game that we either like might not have seen on TV or just anything in particular you enjoyed about going to your first game of the year.
It was great. I love going to games in Philly, especially when they win. Cause
I've never been, I want to go this year.
Oh, you got to go. But that was, I've been to a few games the last few years. And the last time they won was in Philly was I think like 2018. I was at the game in 2019 where Todd Frazier tied it in the 9th. And then Diaz gave up that walk-off home run to Segura. That was rough. I was there last year on opening day. DeGrom pitched great, and the bullpen blew it. I've seen a lot of rough games in Philly. But, yeah, so it was nice for them to pull one out. It was a great game. But something I noticed that it stands out on TV, but not as much. But, oh, my God, Starling Marte, that dude, it's insane, like his build. Like his legs are like tree trunks. His whole body is just chiseled. Like I've never – this dude, he's huge. Like you wouldn't see anything on TV, but he's pretty tall, and the dude is just strong. Like just seeing that up close in person – it's like, wow, like you really don't get the sense of that on TV. Like, I know you do somewhat. Man, that guy's athletic. But, no, it was a good game. I mean, the fact that they shut them out, I was obviously very scared when Diaz put the two guys on. I thought for sure Hoskins was going to end it with a 3-run home run.
Can it not be Rhys Hoskins?
Like, I was with my friend. I was like, I think we both know how this ends, right? It's like, yeah. But thankfully, I was wrong. Usually it doesn't work out that way. But, yeah, it was nice to finally be at a game again. I'm going to be at Citi Field this weekend. That's going to be fun.
I know. I can't wait to hear about like all the home opener because there's a lot going on Friday. There's the Tom Seaver statue. Well, it's Jackie Robinson Day, and it's the home opener. So
yeah,
it should be a lot of festivities, a lot of excitement. Yeah. I've not yet been to Citizens Bank Park, although it's really not that far from me. I'm going to try to go this year.
Gorgeous. I hate the Phillies, but that stadium is definitely my top 5. It's a
really
gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous stadium. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to just knock it. I mean, that's the thing the baseball fans do, right? We like to go to as many stadiums as possible. So that's definitely one. It's so close that I may as well try to knock it out.
Got to get there. So nice.
But, and also, I think it's important, too. Like, yes, the Phillies added a lot to their offense, but – and we want to treat, like – I feel like let's also not assume that just because they added, like, Schwarber and Castellanos that now they're, like, the best team in baseball. Like, I feel like fans were maybe – and, you know, hindsight vision is 2020, but I feel like people might have been a little too intimidated by them, like, going into the season. Not that they're not going to be good. Like, they might be amazing, but I don't know. Like, they're no better than any other – good offense or team. So let's not, or Schwarber too. Like, yeah. Or like, I think I just
the fact
that
they held Schwarber. What? I don't even think Schwarber got a hit the entire series.
No, I don't think so.
That was nice. I thought for sure he was going to go off.
So I feel like
last year, his 3 home run game came against Taiwan Walker. So Monday night going to that game. I mean, I know Walker only faced him once because of his injury, but yeah, I thought that was going to be the game that Schwarber was going to go on his new tear.
But that's the thing. Like, these guys are good baseball players. They added some really good hitters. You know, Bryson Stott is probably going to get a lot of playing time this year. He's their top prospect. So He seems like a good player so far, but just like any other team, like they can be beaten as well. They're not automatically the best team in baseball because they added Schwarber and Castellanos. So I feel like the Mets weren't intimidated by that, you know, by the power and by the potential power in the Phillies lineup. The Mets didn't seem like intimidated. Why would they be? Like having seen them now, I feel like, you know, there's going to be some tough games. They're going to win some games against the Mets, but so far, just like any team, like they can be beaten. I was impressed with how the Mets handled the Nationals. Like, and I have to say, I feel like the Nationals hitters are going to be decent. I feel like their pitching is going to be a big problem based on what I saw. So
that bullpen. Oh my God. That bullpen sucks.
So I'm not ready. And the Nats also played great defense in that first series. Let's not forget the Keibert Ruiz, like throughout Marte at second. They made some.
Keibert Ruiz is going to be a solid player. Yeah. I think he looks good.
Alcides Escobar is still tormenting the Mets at shortstop.
Andrew Stevenson didn't do anything.
I think he's in AAA.
Is he AAA? Okay. Well, I'm surprised they didn't just call him up.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, if the Nats were smart, they'd only activate Andrew Stevenson when they were playing the Mets. Because don't they know his numbers? Like, I mean, I'm not the first one to say it. He has a lifetime, like, 350 average against the Mets. That may have helped them out. But yeah, based on what I've seen, you know, they're playing Arizona over the weekend. So
they need to take
hopefully they
that.
Can win in two out of three.
Six of the next 9 or 10 games are against Arizona. So they need to. You got to take the good teams take advantage of the bad teams. Like how we beat the Nationals, they're a bad team. Need to do that all season. I think the team that beats up on the Nationals in the NL East the most is going to win the division. And they said that on TV the other day. Whoever plays well against – I mean, the Marlins are better. But whoever plays the best against the Marlins and the Nationals, they're going to have the best shot to win the division. But Diamondbacks are atrocious. Their offense is horrible. And they're going to see the back end of our rotation, probably Bassett, Carrasco, and then Peterson, I guess. They haven't announced it, but Peterson probably on Sunday. I mean, I'd rather – if we're facing the Diamondbacks, I'd rather use our – you could call it like Bassett's great, but our lower-end starters against them. Because then the Giants come into town
they're
on
gonna
Monday.
Be tough.
So we need locked and loaded for them. But we need to capitalize on these bad teams, especially early. It's great to get off to a good start. And I mean, we saw last year we thought we had breathing room. And
anyone can go 5-2. Any team can go 5-2 in a 7-game span. Even the worst
just beat the Braves 2 out of 3. So, I mean
– you just never know.
Happen. Look at the Orioles the last few years. Looks like they've had the Yankees number. I feel like every time they come to town, they beat the Yankees and they can't beat anybody else. But yeah, it's you can't sleep on any team in baseball. You can get beat, but you need to be able to take advantage of the bad teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully they'll be able to do that. All right. Any like final thoughts before we sign off? Any observations that we didn't get to? Any other things you want to point out about the Mets? Any other team?
No, I'm excited for the home opener. I'm excited for Steve Seaver to finally get a statue. I wish he had been here to see it. At least his family will be there. Yeah. But, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see the new kind of electronics at Citi Field. I know
it's a big renovation. If you try new food, let me know because there's a lot of new food.
I'll try a couple things. Okay. I'll have a little review segment next
week. Have 3 days to try as much new food as you can. So let's hear about how that went.
I've been hearing a lot about this Murphy's like mac and cheese or something, or Murph's, I don't know what it's called, but I'm going to have to check it out.
Okay.
Big mac and cheese guy. So we're going to have to see how that goes.
Okay, great. I'm looking forward to a really great breakdown of the new food options at Citi Field. I'm usually not that creative. Like, honestly, I basically just get the Nathan's chicken tenders and fries like every time I go.
You gotta venture out.
I know. I don't.
Got some like sausage and peppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just never do. I don't know. Cause like you that's the only time.
Smoke? I hope Blue Smoke's still there. I don't know with this new barbecue place if they're getting rid of Blue Smoke. Blue Smoke is so good.
I just feel like, I don't know. That's the only time I ever have chicken tenders is at a baseball game. So like that's my time to get them.
Classic baseball game meal. I can't blame you.
Yeah. But maybe this year I'll finally get more adventurous. I've been toying with trying the Alonzo burger. Like, I don't know if I'm brave enough. I think they changed it this year, actually. They, like, I'm not sure. Well, there was an article on MLB.com about, like, reviewing the new food options at Citi Field because they had, like, some sort of event, I guess, recently where they were unveiling a bunch of new things at the stadium. And one of them was, like, apparently a revamped Alonzo burger, which I know people who had it last year liked it.
They should just come out with a bunch of different player-themed food. That'd be cool. Like a Bassett burger. A Scherzer sandwich, a Marte margarita, something like that.
Oh my God, I would definitely.
I would get so many Marte margaritas.
That would be very funny.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Make it happen.
All right. Well, looking forward to eating, not only eating at Citi Field, but also watching baseball at Citi Field this year.
Let's see hopefully
seeing some Mets. I know last year the Mets only won one of the 7 games I went to. So let's increase that percentage.
Or maybe you just should stay home.
I'll either not go.
We'll ship you some Nathan's chicken fingers and fries, and you just.
If that's, you know, if that's what it takes for the team to be good, I'm willing to stay back. I'm Let's willing test to it do
that. Go to some games in April. We'll see how it's going. Then we'll know.
If they lose all of them,
allowed to come. Yeah,
I'm out. All right. Hopefully it doesn't come to this. I would love to be in attendance. If my presence will bring the team down, then I understand. But hopefully it doesn't come to that.
All right, but yeah, so let's have a good home opener. See the statue. I'm sure there'll be plenty of critics. We all know how that goes. But yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun weekend, a really fun weekend.
Baseball's back. I'm just so happy. When Major League season's back, there's nothing like baseball fans being excited for their season. I've like baseball fans just love baseball so much, and I just love that now we're like steeped in it again. You know, there's the baseball content like 24/7. I'm loving it. This is where I thrive.
Love it. Love
this
it.
Is where we thrive too as a podcast, because there's more to talk about.
Yeah, we live on it.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We look forward to recording again soon. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Cohen's Corner Pod. You can also follow me at NYMFan97. And you can follow Jake at Giblin_Jake. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, let's go Mets.